Thank you, Sean. I guess the first thing I'd like to do is certainly thank the organizers for the opportunity to visit with you today. It's kind of interesting listening to Kent, and he talked about, you know, what a wonderful time it would have been to be alive. I know Kent's younger than I am, so he wasn't intimately involved in that revolution of genetics coming into North America. I guess I would argue that I didn't have the privilege to be involved in this industry at that time, but I think it would have been just tremendously exciting. I guess I would now say that really technology at that time just happened to come on four legs and from a different country. I don't think we're in any different stage right now as far as the technology revolution. We've heard that term a lot. Just now it comes on a chip that maybe you can see, maybe you can't. I'm getting close to the average age of that beef cow producer in Canada, so I need my glasses to see that chip. But it's going to come from the lab. It's going to come from data. It's going to come from the computer. I think we're in an exciting time, and I don't think it's necessarily any different than what it was back when we were bringing in those new breeds. So what I'm going to visit with you about is trying to build on some of the things that Sean outlined. One of the things that Sean and I do a lot these days in response to people asking us questions about where this is going, we try and think a lot about what is that customer going to be? What is it that we have to produce? What is it that you as a breeder, as a seed stock producer, need to think about on where you're going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now, 30 years from now if you're going to be in this business? So fundamental changes that we've had in this country. Remember, we're talking about the Canadian industry. It's maybe not exactly the same as the U.S. industry, but there's probably some similarities. Okay, larger commercial cows, the control is in and the control is in fewer hands. Multiple sire pastures are an absolute thing that we're dealing with, no question. Reduced labor. I'm sure every one of you in here that sold a bull to a commercial guy in Canada in the last 5 years, after they decide, maybe before they decide that the bull looks pretty good now, the next thing they're going to look at is their birth weight or their calving ease, EPD, because they don't have the labor to be out there trying to assist calves being born. AI use has increased at the commercial level. You know, we've talked a long time about technology adoption at the commercial level. One colleague of ours would tell us that based on their semen sales, his anecdotal evidence is that upwards of 40% of his total semen sales are going into commercial herds in this country. And the interesting thing about it, when you talk to them, they aren't buying all kinds of bulls. They aren't buying all kinds of semen. In a lot of cases, they're maybe buying 50 to 100 units on one or two bulls with a set of EPDs, and they're well-proven bulls. They're going after consistency. They're going after predictability in their cattle and their calf crop. Terminal maternal programs are on the increase. We're seeing that. And a lot of that is being driven by the AI technology at the commercial level. Retained ownership and feedlot relationships. And of course, you've heard many times about our RFID system for individual ID of all calves. So those are some of the fundamental things that have happened in our country. What's been our response? And when I say the purebred response, I include myself in that. I'm part of that industry. What's been our response? And I'm not picking on anybody. I didn't label any lines or anything, and I didn't pull all the breed associations, okay? And I didn't go past 2005 because the story's about the same, but there's registrations in this country. There hasn't been a lot of change. There's purebred transfers. Okay? How many of your customers now are really interested in a transfer on that of that paper? There's cow enrollment. Some of the breeds that we work with up here have a mandatory cow enrollment program. If you're going to be on the program, you have to enroll every cow in your herd. Okay? So, what have we seen? Technology adoption has been relatively low. Interestingly enough, and I cannot explain it, if you look at ultrasound technology uptake in Canada at the purebred level and carcass data testing in Canada at the purebred level, it is low. It is really low. We're talking a very small percentage of our purebred cattle have ultrasound data. Okay? Membership segregation. As we talk to breed association people that we work with, they are starting to describe to us a split in their membership. There's those people that are really interested in performance, have all the cows on the program, are driving forward, and then they've got another segment in their population that I put up their non-performance herds, but it simply means they aren't having all their cows enrolled. They may be registering, they may be sending in a few weights, but it's starting to segregate within the associations. Increased purebred herd size, and that's a positive response. Okay? Increased number of breeds, hybrids, and composites by purebred breeders. And when Sean asked the question about if you're a purebred breeder or a seed stock producer or breeder or supplier, it was interesting because Don sitting here asked the question, well, what's the difference? Well, it depends on what your definition is. For the purpose of my talk, and what I think about a purebred breeder as sort of a one-breed type of operation. I talk about a seed stock supplier as one that has more than one breed and is probably producing some composites or some hybrids or something along those lines. So where do we go from here? And I want to point out that, number one, it's not all negative. I may have shown you some things that, you know, some people will throw up their hands, or some people would say that, you know, the breed associations are have some challenges. That may be true. They may have some challenges, but this whole industry has challenges. But there's huge opportunities out there. The integration by commercial producers of things like cooperative marketing, retained ownership, value-based and grid systems, okay? They are starting to drive information. Okay? I had a conversation with John Pollock this morning at breakfast, and the sharing of data is not huge yet across this system of carcass to feedlot to commercial system to purebred system. But what's interesting is there's beginning to be a sharing of information. Okay? The feedlot may not be able to tell you or give you results that say your group of calves gained this, had feed efficiency of this, etc. But they are able to tell you, your calves did really well in my feedlot, and I want to come back and buy them again. And whatever you did to produce those, I want more of those in the future. That information sharing is happening. We're getting seed stock suppliers talking to Sean and I and others. Okay? We're not the only ones doing this. About, we've got commercial guys that are telling us this is what they want, and they think these kind of bulls are working better for us, but we really can't tell because we've got multi-sire pastures. Okay? So the ability of that commercial producer to get meaningful feedback is creating a new situation. And as we merge these technologies together, that's only going to get greater. So the thing that we see that's huge, and it's this concept of demand pull versus technology push. Okay? Everybody who's ever been out there tried to explain what an EPD is to the commercial guy standing in the yard, put up your hand. Okay? How many of you were happy with the result that you got in trying to explain it to them? Put your hand up. Okay? That's technology push. Right? What we've now got is that commercial guy coming and saying, I need more bulls like those three I bought from you 2 years ago because they produce calves that my feedlot tells me they want. That's demand pull. The problem is we've got to get on the same currency of how we do that. Okay? We see seed stock suppliers forging alliances with commercial herds, feedlots, and packers. Okay? It's happening. The thing that's interesting is, as we talk about the Cowboy Joes of the world, they're doing it on their own terms. In a lot of cases, it's happening without the general industry maybe even knowing about it. You talk, those of you that are out and talking to people in the industry, you find out about all these different little things that are happening. And it is happening. Technology's changing, the mandatory identification, the RFID. Boy, to get software now that you can automatically put in an RFID, calves in the scale, automatically record that. You don't even have to basically touch that aspect of it. It's not a big thing. My friend Sean does that. He went and got a quote from a sales company to buy a piece of technology like that. If you haven't gathered, Sean's kind of a thrifty guy. He went on the internet, found that thing called eBay, and bought what he wanted plus another whole piece of material for less money than what he was going to be asked to buy the first one. There's ways that people are finding from a cost-benefit point of view of getting that technology that they can use. DNA and genomics, we've heard all about it. Okay, it's coming. If you haven't realized that by now, you're probably like me and missed most of the sessions yesterday. But it's coming. Okay, I think we need to go back and think about the final statement I have there. It's not the final slide, Herb, so don't get up yet. But the individual animal will be king. And what I mean by that, or what Sean and I mean by that, is if you think about how things are starting to be managed, okay? Talk to the feedlots, okay? At certain times, they're taken away, they're ultrasounding, they're maybe getting a DNA panel, and they're going to sort those animals, they're going to manage those animals, they're going to market those animals based on that information. That's individual information. And it just continues. Our packing plants. You know, we've got automatic grading type situations, the camera, however you want to talk about it. They're collecting that information. That information's being used internally to sort carcasses on an individual basis. So the individual is going to be king. We see from a commercial focus point of view that genomic sire verification is a key. And why is that a key? Because we believe it's going to be the one thing that's going to allow you to take that commercial data on identified, sire-identified calves and tie it back to the seed stock populations. Okay? The breed associations. Think about a situation where all of a sudden you're a seed stock producer, you sold 30 bulls last year, or 2 years ago, let's say. Now you've got information coming back on all the calves from every one of those bulls uniquely tied to that bull. And that data is being sent to you. You can incorporate it into your genetic evaluation. Now you've got commercial data, how those calves actually performed out in those herds. And if we look at the RFID technology going forward, there's certainly the opportunity to bring in the feedlot performance and then the carcass data. So the sire verification to us is key because that's the tie from the commercial herd back to the seed stock herd. And it's a case, in our opinion, of putting that data together. Okay? Once you do that, once you collect that DNA sample on that commercial calf, there's lots of other things that you're going to get out of it. Management and herd evaluation knowledge you can get. Feedlot management by individual merits. If the trend continues that we're going to run panels. And if you look at the emphasis from the companies, that sure sounds that way. Okay? Useful packer information. We already had some discussion about the tenderness panel and how that can be used in programs. But then we come to this idea of information overload. You know, somebody, I think Kent or somebody already made the comment, you know, if you think we have a lot of data now, wait till we start and get genotypes. Right? We may have, I don't know, 150 pieces of information on every animal currently in some of our data sets. Well, it's not going to take too long to run a 50,000 SNP chip, and so now we've got 50,150 pieces of information. What are we going to do with that? Okay? It creates tremendous opportunities to use information to create knowledge and drive value. We hear about selection decision-making tools. Okay? We hear about marker-assisted EPDs. Those are all opportunities to create knowledge and drive value, in our opinion. Genetic potential. We think about in the not-too-distant future where all bulls going into commercial herds are all going to be parentage verified, have a DNA sample on file somewhere. Okay? Calves in all the commercial herds are sire verified. The direct link to seed stock herds and breed association databases. And I want to make it clear, like other people have said, this isn't an us and they situation. Okay? It isn't the commercial sector and the purebred sector separate. It's putting those together. The role of breed associations and their databases are absolutely key in this. Okay? Absolutely key. We have to keep driving this thing forward together. But now we have a technology that will get us the opportunity to expand the data and the relevance of what we can produce as breed associations, seed stock suppliers, however you want to talk about it. The potential links to the feedlot and packer data, we've heard about all that. And the opportunity for the enhanced genetic evaluations. You know, can we bring in feedlot data? Can we bring in packer data? Yeah, there's all kinds of issues about contemporary groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? There's ways around that. A little bit of coordination can make that a reality. Okay? So some closing comments. So Herb, now you can start and get ready to get up. Pedigree and performance linked at seed stock and commercial level. Absolutely critical to where we see the industry in Canada going. Herd management and knowledge. And I think we need to think about it as it has to be focused on value to the commercial industry. It's not a cost proposition anymore, as Sean talks about. It's a value proposition based on what's the benefit that I'm going to get for the dollar I spend. Okay? Alliances on an individual level. They're happening. Enhanced genetic evaluations and creating knowledge out of information to drive value. Information is not good enough, people. We need to create knowledge because that's what people can use to make a decision, a value-based decision that is going to be beneficial to their business. So with that, Herb, I think that's some comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob and Sean. We've got time for a few questions, if there are any.